Dear friends, today we shall be discussing a new element in our study of the Book of Revelation. It is even a new section, the section of the bowls. So far, we were in the section of the woman and the dragon. Now, we turn to the bowls section. But there is a link between the two, and I'd like to point out that the bowls occupying chapter 15 and 16 give us an introduction with chapter 15 first, then the achievement of the bowl in chapter 16. So, let me remind you of verse 1. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. The wrath of God will be poured out as from chapter 16. Let's read it. Revelation 16:1. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. Thus, chapter 15 is an introduction to the bowls, showing us the spirit in which God's people is found. And then, chapter 16, where the bowls themselves take place. The second point I would like to address concerns what is said here, a great and marvelous sign. We have already seen great and wonderful signs. We saw them at the beginning of chapter 12. Let me read the first verses of chapter 12 again. Revelation 12, we'll be reading verses 1 to 3. Now, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns, and 7 diamonds on his head. At the beginning of chapter 12, two signs appear, a woman and a dragon. We have just examined chapters 12, 13 and 14 that speak of the struggle between the dragon, Satan, and the woman. That is God's people. But this story does not end in chapter 14. In chapter 14, we reach the threshold of the wrath when the wine harvest is thrown into the wine press of the wrath of God. This wrath will display in turn with the bowls from chapter 15, and that's why appears another great and marvelous sign which is in line with the previous ones. Let me show you that there is also a sequence between what we saw previously. That is, the trumpets, and now the bowls. If we go back to chapter 11, verse 18, the statement of the 24 elders is extremely clear. Let me read it again to you. They say, Revelation 11, 18, the nations were angry and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. They clearly say the time of your wrath has come. Thus, in chapter 15, we are again at the threshold of the wrath, more specifically, the time when the wrath is about to be expressed. Therefore, we have two stories. First, a story that encompasses the churches, the seals, and the trumpets that leads us to the end of the judgment of the house of God until the time when the kingdom is handed to Christ. Then, we have a second story beginning with chapter 12 to 14, which contains other symbols that are found in the book of Prophet Daniel. The beasts, the heads, the horns. This second story also brings us at the threshold of the wrath of God, a time when two populations have matured towards good or evil, the time leading to the threshold of God's wrath. Now, I want to read a verse that is found in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, verse 19. Jeremiah 6, we'll be reading 19 to 20. Hear, O earth, behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people, the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my words, nor my law, but rejected it. For what purpose to me comes frankincense from Sheba and sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet to me. This text is very clear. The religion that has been set up does not make much sense. It is of no value in God's sight. They did not pay any attention to the word of God. That is why they are rejected. On the contrary, God's people is under shelter. So, obviously, we may wonder what's happening then, since the judgment is over. Why does not Christ return immediately? We shall have to come back to this subject later, but it would require an unquestionable demonstration. Now, I think we should also understand that God's people will be protected during this time, the time of trial. But even so, it will also be a time of trial for them too. But they will not be that much affected. We must remember that during the plagues of Egypt, from the fourth plague, the land of Goshen, where God's people lived, was spared from the remaining plagues. These affected only Egypt, while at the start they affected the whole country. So it is likely that we will find ourselves in a similar situation where the people of God will be spared. I would like to read with you again from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, then verse 6. Isaiah 4, verses 2 and 3. Isaiah, chapter 4. In that day the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing for those of Israel who have escaped. It shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem, Isaiah 4:6, and there will be a tabernacle for shade in the daytime from the heat, for a place of refuge, and for a shelter from storm and rain. Further, in his book, the prophet Isaiah chapter 26, verse 20 tells us the following. Isaiah 26 will be reading from verse 20 to 21. Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation is past. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain. This time of the bowls is a time when all hidden things are going to be publicly revealed, visible and exposed. God's people will be protected. He enters his chamber for a while. But for the rest of the population, this will be a difficult time, a time when all the abuses previously hidden will come to the open. Now back to our text in Revelation chapter 15, verse 1. We read verses 1 and 2. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire. And those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. This describes God's people here. Since we see him before the throne of God, we might ask ourselves the question, is he already in heaven? In fact, we are in the introduction of the bowls, and during the time of the bowls, we know that God's people is not in heaven, he is still on earth. We already saw them before the throne of God, remember? Let's go back to chapter 7, the section that speaks of the sealing of God's people. Revelation 7, verse 9. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number of all nations, tribes, peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hand. They are not already in heaven. They hold palms in their hands, just as the people who waited Jesus when he entered Jerusalem. They await Christ's return. At the end of chapter 7, the verbs are in a future tense. Revelation 7, 17. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. In their heart, in their mind, they are before the throne of God, but they are not there physically yet. Moreover, this population described before the throne of God does not represent all the elected. They are presented as those who have overcome the beast and his image. This is the last generation because the image of the beast is not set yet. And we are not in these latest events. Therefore, it is indeed the last generation. So, I'd like to bring together some texts that speak of this last generation. The latest generation is presented to us under two different aspects, as a crowd and as the 144,000. But this is the same group. In chapter 7, the 144,000 are introduced to us when they are sealed. It is the first part of chapter 7. Then, in the second part of the chapter, they are presented to us as a large crowd. Besides, we note that this information John gives us about the 144,000 is heard by him in chapter 7. Then he turns around, and what does he see? A large crowd. So this is the same group. Afterwards, we come across the 144,000 in chapter 14, then a crowd in chapter 15, a crowd in chapter 19, but it's always the same group. And we can tell that this is the same group even through their voices. In chapter 7, the crowd has a loud voice. In chapter 14, the 144,000 have a very particular voice, a powerful voice like the sound of many waters, that is, like the voice of God. And at the same time, their voice is smooth, soft, like harp players. Then in chapter 15, the crowd is presented as having harps. His message is soft, his voice soft and harmonious. It seems that he doesn't have any powerful message to deliver anymore, like the one of many waters, simply because he no longer has to announce the truths of God to others. At last, we find this crowd again in chapter 19, verse 6, and I invite you to read it with me. Revelation 19, 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God Omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. Here, we see them with a powerful voice again, not because they have something to announce, but because overflowing joy brings them to cry, because Babylon is fallen, and because they now know that victory is definitely won. Let's continue our reading in chapter 15, where the text describes this population. We see them singing. We hear them singing while they sing a new song, evoking something that has never happened to them before. Let's read chapter 15, verse 3. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Apparently, their songs consist of two themes, the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. The song of Moses is a song that Moses composed once the people had crossed the Red Sea, when they were finally delivered from the Egyptians, when the Egyptians, Pharaoh and his army had sunk into the Red Sea. It is a song of victory. I invite you to read with me Psalm 90, the only one written by Moses. Psalm 90, verse 1. Psalm 90, verse 1. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Thus begins the Song of Moses. I'd like to point out something particular in Psalm 91. It starts like this. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This song does not tell us about its author, and this is very unusual. It starts like this without transition. Perhaps we need to understand that Psalm 91 is in fact the remainder of Psalm 90. So I think that Psalm 91 is actually also the Song of Moses. So let's see what this population, this crowd standing before the throne of God has to say. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence, and He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your feet against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is what the children of God can say during the time of wrath. They are under shelter from the wrath. They see 1,000 falling to their left and 10,000 to their right, but they are not harmed. They only watch. In these difficult times, God's people will not be completely spared. They will struggle, because if the days are difficult for the population as a whole, it will certainly be for them too. But they will be delivered, delivered from suffering, but especially delivered from anguish, because at that time anxiety will be such that we could talk of Jacob's anguish, the kind of anxiety that is not caused by the events, but it will rather concern man's spiritual condition. Have I been faithful to God up to the end? This was Jacob's thought when he was about to meet his brother. Am I going to be protected by God? God's people will feel and experience the protection of the Lord. They have a battle to fight, but a battle on their knees, and they shall be delivered not only from the trials, but from anguish too.